All please rise. Join us in the salute to our flag.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Our clerk will now take the roll call.
Councilmember Watson.
Present.
Councilmember Hanson.
Here.
Councilmember Olson.
Here.
Councilmember Ingram.
Here.
Councilmember Muxler.
Here.
Councilmember Birch.
Here.
Councilmember Goodman.
Here.
All present accounted for. Thank you, Council. Okay, next up is the public comment period. This is the period where members of the audience can come speak to the council on anything that's not on tonight's agenda. If you want to speak on, say, the marijuana issue later, you will be given a chance to speak on that later. This is anything that's not on tonight's agenda. Anything you'd like to bring forward and speak to the council about. Any takers? Any takers? Any takers? Okay.
Yes.
Moving on?
Yes.
Oh, no, we're not moving on. Okay, welcome, sir.
Yeah, well, I have an excuse for missing last meet. I taught English when I was a teacher and teach math. 1 plus 14 does make 15, but I got confused because I went 3 times 7. It's 21, so I was coming on the 21st. You got that? Okay, 3 points to my presentation tonight, as there usually is. First one is a pun.
Name and address, sir?
You forgot your name and address?
No, your name and address.
Oh, okay.
Please.
John, it's Papa John, and it's 6072 Malloy Avenue, right here in Fernberg. First thing is a pun. You got to pay close attention. You know what a paranoid is? And the answer is obviously two noids. If you lose one of them, you're going to be annoyed. If you add one, you have adenoid. Moral of the story, keep your noids in pairs. That's Papa John's advice for the evening. Okay, take that with you. It's solid advice. And then next, I have a presentation for our mayor. I think he sees this when he looks in the mirror in the morning. You know, it's one of the, I thought of him immediately when I saw this, so I had to bring it. For you guys back here, this is the mayor in the morning.
2 minutes.
Okay, but I also have some things in here for him. One is, since he knows he is the rooster of this flock, I brought him an emblem of his authority. Okay? Here is the cap. It's going to be his symbol of the victory. Now, wear that on your head. But I'm going to give this, put it in here too. This is to remind him of the people he works with. Okay? So it all goes in one bag. Now, the third thing is a point to ponder. And this is meant to be serious. When you reach the age of accountability, you're given the keys to your life choices. And the road that you choose to travel also has a permanent exit to it. So remember that. You're being given the keys to your own life, to the road you travel on. But at the end of the road you're on is a final exit. Thank you.
Thank you. Anything else for the public comment period? Anyone? Okay, moving on in the agenda. Next up is the Transportation Benefit District Board meeting at 6:03:26. I'll open up the Transportation Benefit District Board meeting. I saw Councilperson Hanson first, so your hand is up.
I move we pass the consent agenda for the TBD.
Second.
Seconded by Councilperson Goodrich. Further comment or discussion? Seeing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Okay, motion carries 7-0. So at 6:03:57, we close the Transportation Benefit District and reopen the regular council meeting. And then before you, Council, is our regular consent agenda. Councilperson Goodrich.
Motion to approve the agenda.
Second.
Consent agenda.
Okay, seconded by Councilperson Birch. Any further discussion or comments? Seeing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries 7-0. Okay, moving right along in the agenda, capital project updates. We welcome Katie Ratter. Welcome.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Good evening, Council. My name is Katie Ratter. I'm the Public Works Project Manager, and so I've got a couple of updates for you. I talked to Wendy before she left for the day, and I offered to give a few updates on the stuff she's working on. First is the Neubauer Pond. I don't know if you guys have had a chance to walk the new trail out there. That's pretty much complete. I think the last time I gave an update for Wendy The mitigation area needed to be planted. That's done. The only thing that remains is there's a gate that needs to go in on the access road. That's been ordered, and as soon as it arrives, it'll be installed. So it's kind of a great site and connects the walking trail that leads to Hovander. I don't know if anybody has any questions. Okay. Next is Barrett Road. If you remember the last update, the road was being ground up and we were planning on paving that. The road's complete. It's been paved. We used 14 of the 15 working days to get that done. I've got some really good news about that project. We had planned a certain depth of HMA asphalt, and we were able to switch some things up on the contract. We're under our contract amount, and we're able to add a whole inch of asphalt on that road. So it's a really good job with the team there.
Estimate of amount you're under?
$14,000.
Thank you.
Does anybody have any questions? Next on the list is Church Road. So last time I provided an update, we were working on finishing up the storm system. The storm system has been complete. If you've been by, you'll see that curb and gutter has been installed. There's maybe a day or so left of that to be done. They'll start getting to work on the sidewalks. I'm excited to report that the first portion of asphalt from Main Street to Heights Drive will be placed tomorrow, weather dependent, weather willing. So that's good news. As I've kind of mentioned in the past, we've had some challenges with the project. Things have actually kind of lengthened on that schedule. We've run into some poor soils, taken us a little bit more time with dealing with utilities than we anticipated. So the contractor has been really good to work with as far as the order of work. They've been switching some of the order of work items around where we're putting base lift of pavement in before sidewalk, because it's very important that we get the road stabilized and ready, because, as you know, it's October and rain starts to fall in October. So at the last Public Works Committee meeting, we discussed the schedule and the possibility that this project may not get the top lift of asphalt in this year. The contractor is pushing very hard to get the base lift in, get the site stabilized, to put us in the best position possible to get that done, and we'll continue to push for that. It's just once we get to this time of year, I get concerned. The top lift of asphalt, it needs to be a certain temperature, it needs to be dry, and so the likelihood of that happening is it's kind of reduced just because of the time of year. So there is the possibility that we'll have to hold off until spring to do the top lift. But that doesn't mean that we won't get all the sidewalk in, all the landscaping done, and everything else. It'd be much like Main Street, where all the other items of work will be complete, and just hold off for that top lift for next year.
Councilperson Ingram.
Katie, hopefully they will get that first lift done, because the major storm, the first one of the year, comes in Saturday. If they do, will the road remain closed throughout the winter?
The road will remain closed until the point that if we're not able to get the top lift of asphalt, we're going to continue to push through. And even if the weather is kind of poor, you can pave facelift if it's been a little wet. You can't pave on standing water, obviously. But if we get to the point where the landscaping's done, the sidewalks are done, then we'll suspend work for the wintertime. If it looks like we're not able to get the top lift, suspend work, probably lift the road closure, because there'd be no reason for that. And then once in the spring, it becomes obvious that we're able to do the paving because of the weather, then we reinstate the road closure. So.
Thank you.
Councilperson Hansen.
You said that the landscaping will be done. Are we doing the planting strips like we did Main Street as a separate contract, or is this part of Colacurcio's contract?
The existing contract includes putting down topsoil and seeding the landscape strips, And so the trees and any additional landscaping is not included as part of Paul Curcio's contract, so yes.
We come late.
Right. We're actually taking a look at that to determine what the scope needs to be. It'll be done. The trees are always, you know, it's a good idea to plant those in the fall or wintertime when they're dormant. So we're looking at putting that scope, schedule, and a budget together for that to address that. And at the same time, we actually, I was going to mention this too, our watering contract for the trees on Main Street is pretty much done. We did have two trees that were hit pretty hard by the caterpillars this spring were terrible. So they stripped two of the cherry trees of all the leaves, and I think they're dead. So we wanted to see if they kind of live through the summer. It looks like they're not. So we'll probably add replanting those two trees, removing and replanting those to the church road contract for the landscaping. Questions? No? All right. So, hope for good weather. As always, we'll get your food done. Last on the list is another project for Wendy. I figured I'd mention this. I'm sure Greg will give a library update. So, Wendy, as you know, has been working on the mitigation for the library site. Over the last couple of weeks, the Public Works crew has been working to remove that huge hump of soil. They're behind the library, and so they've done that, and now Wynwood is prepping the site, and this is the location where the wetland mitigation and enhancement will be occurring. So I actually brought some, Wendy has some flyers. There's extras over here. They're prepping the area, and Nooksack Salmon Enhancement Association, under Wendy's direction, is going to be doing a volunteer day on October 25th. The week prior, Wendy and Nooksack Salmon Enhancement will be laying out all the plants, but we're really encouraging the public. Like to plant plants, right? We're encouraging the public to come out and volunteer and help the community, help restore this area by volunteering and planting some plants. There's flyers here if anybody's interested. It is on the 25th between 9 and noon. Refreshments and food will be provided, so if you don't get a natural high off of planting plants, then there'll be coffee there too and other goodies.
So you could just show up on site at that time with gloves, clothes able to get dirty?
Gloves and tools will actually be provided. Of course it won't rain, but if by some sort of strange stretch of the imagination it does, then just bring appropriate attire. But the rest of the stuff will be provided. City's providing plants, gloves, tools to show up and be willing to work, and we'll get that area planted.
And there would be people there to sign your high school volunteer hours that you need to get. So if you'd like to mention that to all your fellow students, it's a great way to get those volunteer hours. Plus, you get free food, so there you go. Spread the word.
Anyway, that's all I had. Thank you.
Okay, so I imagine our city administrator would like to talk about our other capital project that's coming to the end.
Sure. Our library continues to make good progress. It's obviously visual if you go by. Wynwood has installed the irrigation and is spreading the topsoil. The plants will be coming here rather soon. As Katie mentioned, our crew actually hauled away that large pile of dirt, so that was actually something that they enjoyed doing because it's a lot better than fixing water leaks, as I was told. But so they did a heck of a job there. Inside the library, most of the carpet is down. The rest of it should be arriving here, I believe, tomorrow. And the bookshelves are beginning to go up. The furniture has been delivered and is been kind of stacked around the place, most notably in the meeting room. When you get in the library, especially now with the furnishings, I've been telling folks that there's a distinctive retro vibe to the library. It kind of has that 60s feel when you see a lot of the furniture. So it being not a child of the 60s, but having been around them, I think folks are going to really enjoy it. It's not quite as cavernous as it used to look now that all the bookshelves are going up and the furniture is going in. From a cost standpoint, costs are rolling in as expected. There's been no surprises. from that standpoint. Tomorrow is probably going to be our last library construction meeting with the architect. We're having a meeting at noon, and the major reason why they're coming up is that we need to put together the punch list. And so if everything goes well, the library may be moving into the building in probably 2 or 3 weeks. That's about the time it takes to usually do the punch list, and then sometime after that they'll have the grand opening. So, but otherwise, it continues to go very well. Wynwood's doing a heck of a job around the parking lot and around the library itself, getting ready for the plants, which will, I think, really kind of dress the place up and make it look quite nice.
Councilperson Goodrich?
So they decided to put the sealer on the cement for the carpet, or what did they end up...
Yeah, due to, I think, a number of factors all having to do with daily costs, ongoing costs, Faber Construction decided that it was in their best interest to simply incur the extra costs and use the alternative glue. So it was really a domino effect. Until the carpet went down, the bookshelves couldn't start to go up, and the crew, there's actually a crew that assembles these bookshelves. It's just not the people that sold the bookshelves.
It's not an IKEA thing, is what you're saying.
It's not an IKEA thing, and their schedule was getting tight because they have another library to go to. So for a lot of good schedule reasons, they decided to move forward, and as a result, those things are now starting to fall right into place.
Any other questions on that project? Good news?
It is good news.
Okay, as they say in the movies, to our feature presentation. Probably what everyone's here for, the ordinance on the citywide cannabis moratorium repeal. Yuri Burnett, our planning director, will speak. Welcome, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Good evening, Council. We are passing around right now a letter from Brownlee Evans, Wolf, and Lee. Heather Wolf, who I believe is in the audience, sent a letter that I believe you all received via email. If not, this is a hard copy for you. Council has directed staff to prepare an ordinance tonight that would lift the existing moratorium on recreational marijuana. As a separate action, the council committee has directed us to prepare an ordinance that would institute a new moratorium on the general business zone, with the intent that the item would be remanded back to the Planning Commission while that moratorium is in effect, so that we could discuss some pros and cons of permitting or not permitting recreational marijuana in that zone. But as proposed, it would be lifted within the light industrial and manufacturing zone. So my philosophy, and you've asked me from time to time about what my philosophy is, and I've generally declined to talk about that because I think that our code should reflect what the state law says and what's best for Ferndale and not necessarily my philosophy. But I'm wondering, Mr. Mayor, if you could indulge me in talking about my philosophy for a few minutes.
You have the floor.
Right. So when I first came here in 2007, many of you will remember that we had a moratorium in place on large retail development. Even though only one applicant, Pioneer Plaza, was going to be affected by that moratorium immediately. But we were still seen, and we saw this at the counter on a daily basis, still seen as a city that was willing to ban things. In that case, it was large retail. But we had a lot of applicants come forward and say, are you going to ban me next? And they were joking, but they were also not joking. You could see, you know, okay, City of Ferndale is ready to pull that trigger on something that they don't like. And we still hear about Bellingham's ban on certain large retail development. And luckily for us, we've heard a lot about what it says about that city, banning things because of what's inside the box. And we still hear about how when Ferndale did lift its ban in 2008, what it said about our city, and how we found a way to get past the simple, blunt moratorium and to find a better way of doing things, and what that says about us. And it's not just about large retail, because we haven't had any, you know, thus far. But it's about the philosophy, and I think that that's really helped us. This is Ferndale's philosophy. This is Ferndale's way. And so that's why it's really difficult for me, as your community development director, to come forward supporting a moratorium at this point on this or any other business simply because we don't like the business. I know that in this discussion, we've seen that anyone that comes forward with marijuana always steps away and says, well, I don't do it myself. You know, and it's unfortunate that they have to do that because it is now a business that the state of Washington has approved. And for them to separate themselves and say, oh, that's not us, you know, I feel a little bit sorry for them. I'm not making that argument because I think that the argument tonight is really an argument in favor of all businesses. Because I have no business telling a business that I don't like their business. Do I not like their product? Do I not like their worldview? Do I not like their customers? No. And the people that I see on the other side of the counter every single day know that. They know that they can trust me. They know that they can trust our staff to try to find the way forward, to get them to yes. And that's the Ferndale way. It's a way to meet our high standards. We have the highest standards around. We know that. We have some of the highest fees around. But they know that when they come in, we're going to help them find a way to build in Ferndale. We sought to do away with code sections that are so prescriptive that they lack common sense. If you've been to the County Planning Commission, they went then to council and they said how awesome it was that here's a city that's trying to find the right way forward. Over the last decade, we fought for that approach because it really is what sets us apart. And I'm damn happy that we have that trust and that reputation because we've really earned it every single day. And that's why we spend so much time on each individual application that comes in. And I'll just give you two examples. And I know that there are probably others, and there are probably some folks that say that we don't do this. A year and a half ago, I met a gentleman named Darcy Weeb, who was considering whether he should move his Bellingham business to California or to keep it local. At the counter, he just kind of walked in, and we talked for about an hour and a half. I put him in touch with a few property owners here in Ferndale. After that, we stayed in touch over the next 20 months. This was a huge investment for him because this was his family business. He developed it back in the 80s, which was a lot easier. He didn't know much about Ferndale or land use in general. But over the last 20 months, we've communicated and discussed issues, and he's now found a home off Hovander Road for he and his 30 employees. We were able to work with him to reduce his impact and connection fees by 80%. We continue to work with him to resolve storm issues that he didn't create himself, but he found himself needing to deal with. Altogether, I probably spent about 40 or 50 hours working with this guy. Haven't charged it, because that's what I felt was the directive from you, is practice this economic development and go that extra mile. Another example is Flax for Life. These are both current examples. A business that this Thursday will have a public hearing to build a 100,000-square-foot business in Ferndale. Now, this one started off by us, as we sometimes do, just making kind of random contact with a real estate broker, saying, how can we bring new businesses to Ferndale? Because it seems like, despite our best efforts, Bellingham's kind of experiencing a little renaissance. And they said, gosh, you know, don't look just at retail. Look at things that bring jobs into your city. So we talked to him a little bit. What can we do more? You're going to see some of the things that we're proposing based partly on this. But this led to a presentation where Sam and I went down to Skagit County, and we presented in front of about 30 real estate brokers from all around Puget Sound and talked to them about Ferndale and the Ferndale Way. He then went to his client. He said, hey, look at Ferndale. They're pretty business friendly. They're now purchasing the site in Ferndale. We have saved them by working with them hundreds of thousands of dollars in fees. They were able to provide us with their billing statements from Bellingham. They were able to provide us with a number of other things. Nearly all of your development staff went out to Bellingham a couple Fridays ago and took a tour of the facility, and I think that it knocked down a couple of questions about what the impacts on the plant might be. And they, I think, were really excited that they said, this is not the experience that they have had, but I think this is the experience that they can expect in Ferndale. And this is economic development. A moratorium is the antithesis of economic development. And I believe that this is the approach that you want us to pursue, that you want us to go that extra mile, because that's what we have to offer. We don't yet have the size to lure this sort of development, but what we do have is that good reputation. But it takes time. It has taken time. And tonight you get to make a decision as to how our time should be used. We have two planners on our staff, and we have two staff members who will be going on maternity leave within the next couple of months. We have a ton on our plate. We really do. We've emerged as a leader in transportation planning, and we're coping with that right now. And because of our long-range plans, WashDOT has initiated a study of the I-5 main line through Ferndale as a potential complement to our planned action that we went through. We've updated most of our comprehensive plan, and we have to refresh it prior to 2016. Included in that is a new economic development chapter that's required by Washington State that we have to write from scratch. We've processed more applications for future development this year than any year since 2007. While our building permits might go down, the amount that's in the hopper right now is simply incredible. This year we've reviewed 15 major private projects and over 50 new business applications coming to the city of Ferndale, the majority of which were submitted over the last 3 months. Over the summer, we've just been inundated. By comparison, in 2011, we had only 8 site plan reviews, and 4 of those were city or school district projects. This does not include subdivision applications because, in 2011, we had only 1 plat. This year, we have 6. We need to look at our gateway zone. We need to streamline our permit and environmental review process. We need to review and revise our comprehensive plan. We need to remain available to the public to answer questions and, yes, to promote economic development. Yes, we can process a zoning text amendment for marijuana. It'll probably take 40 hours or more of staff time developing the environmental documents, Department of Commerce review, preparing staff reports, and working with the city attorney on something that is not a slam dunk. This does not include staff time at planning commission or council meetings. So your decision tonight is much more than just marijuana. In fact, it has very little to do with marijuana. It's about how you want your staff to spend its time. Staff recommends you lift the moratorium on recreational marijuana in its entirety tonight, and no public hearing is required. I'm happy to answer any questions you might have.
Questions of staff? Councilperson Mutchler, and then Councilperson Goodrich.
Your Honor, with all due respect, and you have a tremendous amount of my respect, you lost me at Better Way. I honestly think that the better way for the city of Ferndale is to enact ordinances after we know all the facts and all the implications of the laws. And this thing keeps turning and keeps changing. We know that in a few months here, the state legislature will probably finally decide what this all means to us. This is not about economic development. This is about, I said this at the committee meeting the other day, I feel like this is being driven by staff or driven by the attorneys or driven by the business. I don't know the underlying philosophy of this council. It feels like we had to do something and we did what we had to do. I know there are some folks that aren't quite as sure that we had to do certain things. And so based on staff advice, we've enacted 2 moratoriums, presumably because of 2 reasons. One is the rules seem to be changing. The Liquor and Control Board says one thing. Judges are doing certain things. We were also concerned about a number of orphans out there. I'm glad that you provided the documents from North Shore in staff report. I didn't want to talk about North Shore. I made it very clear that we shouldn't make a decision based on one business. However, if we were to announce, if Gary were to announce tonight that a Walmart was moving to Ferndale or a Wolf Creek or a Fred Meyers, it would be the lead line in the paper tomorrow. I don't know if we have as a community grasped the thought that North Shore is coming to us with a proposal to use up about 50 acres of Ferndale real estate, and their total building coverage in the letter from the realtor, Ms. Carpenter, says 361,000 square feet of building. That's 3 or 4 Walmarts right there. It seems to me that I think you used the word deluge of 2 businesses, and you used the phrase marijuana friendly. We've become the marijuana friendly community. There's a website which is not listed in the staff report, but I'd like to certainly let the press know about it. It's the North Shore website. It's www.i502warehousing.com. And I'm looking at it right now. It says, coming soon, your home for I-502-based businesses, the perfect site for your so on and so forth. And it's talking about Ferndale. You know something? That may be what we want. council may say, you know, we want that. We want Ferndale to be really identified with something like that. I thought that when we voted this in a year and a half ago, I think the sense was that we want to follow the law. We don't want to set ourselves something for litigation. But we were talking about certain numbers. You mentioned at the time, I think, 3 or 4 grow processors and 1 retail. That's what we looked at the licenses coming in, and we thought that seemed appropriate to our city. And so we voted that in. A couple of us were uncomfortable with that, but we voted that in. We were fine with that. And then suddenly the rules changed, and we were concerned about, and again, your words, the deluge of business. So this particular plan, and they have, by advertising this, they want 13 Tier 3 plants, and they want 2 Tier 2s, and maybe that's what we want. But I honestly think we should keep the moratorium on completely until the state decides what we can and cannot do. The better way that you're talking about here is for us to make decisions as a council, knowing what the rules are. It keeps changing under us every day. The circumstances change and the rules change. So I think that kind of summarizes my view on it. I can't lift the moratorium right now until we know the rules.
Thank you.
Councilperson Goodrich and then Councilperson Watson.
Well, as I kind of reiterate kind of what I said in the committee, if I were king, I would have not voted for any marijuana here in Ferndale at all. But I'm not a king, and I'm a council member, and so I don't have that choice. So I have to look at kind of what's the best for the community. Although I personally don't agree with it, my feeling is to go ahead and lift the moratorium that's currently in place. And then I also like the other ordinance that follows that with the creating the new moratorium in the light industrial manufacturing zones, as stated in the other one. My reasoning behind that is it's similar to what we do with a lot of our sections of our code. We instigate something, and then we find out a few months later it needs a tweak. And I think we need a tweak. And I think as a previous Planning Commission member, I value what the Planning Commission does and their opinions. And I really would like them to relook at that aspect of the ordinance and see is it a viable, to exclude those zones from any future development. It's not going to affect North Shore. It's not going to affect any current businesses that have already been grandfathered in. I'm not saying any of those should shut down. They can continue on. But any future developments, I want to make sure we're kind of doing it right and revisit it. Yeah, it's going to take you some time and some staff time, and I know that you guys are busy. But I just don't want to lift it and then find out, a couple of months down the road, oh, shoot, we shouldn't have done that. Let's put the moratorium back, another moratorium back in. I'd rather put a new moratorium on, let the Planning Commission do their work, bring their recommendation back to the council, and then we'll decide here in, 2 or 3, 4 months, what we actually end up needing to do. And does that mean that we solve all the issues for marijuana and won't have to visit this again? Probably not. Who knows, in a year from now, something new can come up from the Attorney General or whoever. At least for now, that's what I would feel comfortable with doing.
Councilperson Watson and Councilperson Ingram.
For me, this is about economic development. And marijuana is a legal business, and we have legal businesses that want to come to Ferndale. You talk about a big box store. You know how I feel about big box stores. I'd be very sad the day a big box store comes here, but I wouldn't have a moratorium on them. They are allowed to be in this city. They're zoned to be in certain places, and as sad as it would make me to see a big box store get dropped anywhere on Main Street or anyplace else, they're allowed to be here. They're a viable business, and so I would not have a moratorium. And so I'm going to make a motion that we lift the I-502 moratorium, and that is the extent of my motion.
I'll second that.
Okay, so we're open for discussion. Councilperson Ingram?
Well, it has been my experience in the time that I have been here, and Mel can contradict me. He's a senior member of this council. we have pretty consistently, as a council, refused to use zoning as a hammer. We've had refused to rezone areas of the city to exclude a business or businesses. It's just something we as a council have pretty consistently done, or not done in this case. I don't see the sense in wasting staff time. I think the Planning Commission's probably got more than enough business on their plate with all the new stuff coming into town, that we don't need to go back and re-beat this subject up. We made the decision, we pass it, we put a moratorium on place, let's rescind the moratorium and move on.
Councilperson Olson?
We were worried about a deluge of processor growers, if the orphans or whoever that could come in. What do you call 15 processor growers that could come in under this proposal? That, to me, that's a deluge. There's 15 of them. This is part of the record, that's why I'm using it. This grand experiment... This grand experiment could be over the day after Obama leaves office, because it's legal here, but it's not legal. So everybody keeps saying it's legal. It's not. We're ignoring it at the federal level. So what if the Attorney General and the courts finally decide, yes, we could ban it, and that's upheld? Now we've lifted this thing. Now what are we going to do? Throw another moratorium after we've already closed the gate and all the horses are out? It just doesn't make any sense to me to keep playing this, put it in, put it down, put it in, put it down, until you get all the answers. Let's remember, you said you represent Ferndale. Ferndale voted it down. They did not want it here. So for the city, residents voted it down. And that's who we represent. So I'm not going to support lifting this ban.
Councilperson Hansen?
If we were speaking of widgets, and we had some people that were objecting to widgets, I wonder if we would put a moratorium on selling widgets.
Of course not.
But we're willing to take what the state has said is perfectly legal and try and manipulate. I dislike moratoriums in general. I'm going to support the lifting. I haven't made my mind up on the second issue yet, but I will support the moratorium to lift the moratorium at this point.
Councilperson Goodrich?
In response to the widget aspect of it, I wouldn't be opposed to widgets, but where are we going to put the widget factory? And that's where we as a council can make decisions on where things can go. And we've done that. And my point of supporting the second ordinance here of sending it back is to make sure that we're putting this particular business in the right spots for our city. And thanks. If the council overall feels that, hey, they can go where we've already stated, in the previous things, if they're fine with that, then it'll get voted down and the moratorium may be gone tonight. My thing is, I would just like one more look at to make sure that these other zones are where we want the retail and the grower processors to go. If it comes out that that's fine, then, that's where the way we'll go. But, I would just feel more comfortable with that one more look at those additional zones, can we allow things and disallow things in all different zones? You can't put a strip club anywhere here in the city that you feel like it. It's limited to where it could go. We're not banning strip clubs, but we're saying if you're going to open up one, it's going to go over here and only there. So why can't we do the same with this to make sure that this is what we want here in town? And where we want them. And that's all I'm asking.
Councilperson Mutchler?
Thank you, Mayor. I might just note, we have more places legally zoned for retail marijuana than we do bicycle shops, if you check our zoning, our retail zoning. It's we've made it wide open. I also concerned about some of the zoning, this old zoning in our city that was done a long time ago, even Councilmember Watson, this entire project, it's a half mile long from Olive Grove to Brown, and it borders a residential zoning. It's all residential on the west side. I also just have a comment to Councilmember Goodrich. This moratorium is going to lift, likely, and you may be the swing vote on this thing, but there's no guarantee that the council is going to want to revisit the other parts that you're talking about. But if we lift the moratorium and North Shore goes in, we own that. And by the way, I'm sort of fine with that, but I don't feel like that's what the council was saying when it enacted 502 ordinance. I think it was saying it was willing to embrace a much smaller scope to it. Even Councilmember Watson, you know, it'd be nice if these things would locate kind of the south end, where the jail is going to go. It just seems more like that than our residential area. But well, I wasn't trying to tie that in. By the garbage dump, okay.
It's so convenient. So,
and again, I reached out to Senator Erickson and Vincent Bias today. The state's going to look at this in just a few months, and so we have a clearer sense of what the rules are. And I think we should leave the moratorium. It'll end about the time they've done their business, and then I think we have a clearer sense of, as to what we're going to do. So I urge that we keep the moratorium up. I urge Councilmember Goodrich to consider voting to keep it up, because there's no guarantee you're going to get the second part from this council.
Okay, before I go to the public, I want to go back, Yori, because I'm always conscious of what staff talks about. So you have two employees leaving. You have a ton of work. If we lift, number one, we lift the moratorium, but then they institute a different moratorium on the second stage where we revisit what you've already done. And this is a study, not to say that you may change your mind. This is a study. So it goes back to public hearing and back to there is, you've said it, but I really want the council to hear, where is your time factor of what you anticipate that? Because it's going to go through the whole process, planning commission, public hearing. And then my fear is, okay, what else doesn't happen because you're doing something? For the council, that's an easy decision. They're going to vote tonight, but that's not their time. Their time will be discussing when the information is given back to them. But with your staff and then losing two staff members, then great. I support the Family Leave Act. That's the greatest law that ever been changed. That's a great thing. But what is the factor? What are you talking about in terms of time block?
Can I make a question, Mr. Mayor?
No, I want you to finish, please.
I'm estimating that it's going to be about 40 hours of staff time to get it to the Planning Commission. For all zoning text amendments, you have to prepare the environmental document, you have to notify the Department of Commerce, and you need to do staff reports. So 40 hours for a zoning text amendment is about average for most of them. I can't guess whether or not the Planning Commission would be able to do it in one meeting. They wouldn't be able to do it in one meeting. They typically have a workshop first, and then I would guess probably a couple workshops and then taking it to a public hearing before taking it back to you. So those are additional things. As for me, the question is what gets put on the back burner then? We've had so many of those development applications that we're now cycling over from the kind of the land use side of things to the permitting side of things. And that does change the nature of how our staff needs to kind of really recalibrate themselves, where since we do have staff, we don't have staff that's just looking at permits. We have staff that's really reviewing. That's going to mean that we probably have to put at least a couple of the other things on the back burner. The gateway zones, one of them. There's the code scrub that we're working on that would make us a little bit more nimble that we've been trying to get through. And what I mean by that is our process is stuck in a post-recession era where any development that came in, oh, thank goodness you came into the front door because we don't have another applicant. We need to be more nimble so that we can respond to the tire kickers quicker and we can get the rest of them through the door. It takes time to reimagine what our process is going to be, and with Jenny leaving, that's going to make it more difficult. As far as the plats that we have, we've got a number of relatively large plats that are wanting to start with their development applications and their building permits. We've got some big multifamily that are coming in, and we can see how they do, but they won't be able to get that kind of more personal touch that we like to give them, which might mean that they don't actually come in. So it's tough for me to sit at my desk every day sometimes, where we have so many meetings going on and so many other things. And this would certainly not allow me to sit at my desk as much if I were to do that.
So I'll allow you to speak. I'll just remember that, put in your thinking cap as you move. If you vote this direction, I'm going to come back and adjust the budget because I'm not going to leave Yuri hanging high and dry. So we are think about that when it comes budget time. Losing two employees, I appreciate that. Okay, Councilmen Goodrich, Olson, Watson, Mutchler.
Well, what I hear you saying, Mr. Mayor, is because Yori's department has a lot of work, therefore we as council just should just do away with this and not worry about maybe trying to get it tweaked or do it right or whatever, and that the decision of council is based off of Yori's workload. And I appreciate the work that Yori and his staff do, but it sounds like you're saying using that as a leverage not to go with the second ordinance. It's kind of like, well, if we do the second one as a council, we approve that, then Yori's going to have a lot of work and something's going to get put on the back burner, and therefore, council, don't do it, is what I'm hearing. And if that's the case, that's kind of, I don't think that's the right justification for a council to do their actions and the wrong motivation reason.
Councilperson Watson.
Okay, I am going to.
I'm sorry, I missed that, but that's okay. I'll go back to Councilperson Olson.
I actually agree. I mean, if council really thinks it's important, then staff time can't be an issue for us. We have to do what we think is best. I do see this as economic development. I see it as 21st century economic development. Instead of waiting for the sales tax period to come and the big box store to come, these are people that are going to have living wage jobs. They're going to be buying equipment. We'll get sales tax from the equipment. This is what 21st century economic development looks like. Small manufacturing, small processing, people that are going to bring jobs, living wage jobs to Ferndale. I'm not that happy for some of it being near the residential area. The problem is people in the past have stuck residential all over this town. I mean, there are people living next to the freeway. So I'm not happy, but I'm willing to live with it. And sending this back to the Planning Commission, it's a separate issue for me because it's on the next, it's the letter E we're going to do next. There's no guarantee the Planning Commission is going to come up with a different answer. I mean, we could send it back. We certainly can, but they did months of hearings. There were a lot of people at those hearings. The initial hearings were packed. I don't know if they'll come up with a different answer. I don't necessarily want to take it back, but I really would like us to focus on, can we drop the moratorium? I do think this is economic development. We talk about economic development. We promise people we're going to bring more jobs to town, and this is an opportunity for economic development and bringing more jobs to Ferndale. You don't have to like the product. You know, for me, this isn't about for me, I'm more interested in the medical side of the research, and I think 5 years from now it's not going to be about selling pot to a bunch of stoners who want to be high all the time. It's going to be about the medical uses of marijuana. But you need to have enough marijuana to do the research. You need marijuana to be legal so you can do the research. And so I think 5-10 years, that's where the money's going to be, and I would like us to be on the ground floor of that, right here in Little Ferndale.
Councilperson Olson and then Councilperson Mutchler.
Brent pretty well covered everything I was going to say. I'm just aghast that I would even sat here and heard that. We didn't bring this up. You guys brought it up. And now we're getting the blame for it? We were fine to put a moratorium when you told us you wanted that 3 weeks ago. So we gave it to you. And here you come 3 weeks later saying, we changed our minds. But you're going to make us do a lot of work. You got it backwards. You guys did it. You've driven this whole project, not us. So to sit there and say that is just, and I have the most respect for you, and we've talked about this. And that is going to hurt. And I will fully support getting him some staff to help him, because he needs it. But don't blame this on us. We didn't start this. So if you want to leave it, if you don't want to bring it to the next item, then leave it on. And let's get through the legislature looking at it, get through the court cases, and figure out an answer once and for all. And then we don't have to go back and do the second one. But if you're gonna do the first one and lift it, then I guess we're going to try and see what we can do to salvage part of it anyway. And again, I am not going to support lifting it. And please don't blame us. It's not our fault.
You don't care if he blames you.
No, I don't. It's part of the job. I don't even like it.
But I have it marked down. I have it marked down for budget. Councilperson Mutchler.
Gary, you're a big boy. I'm going to pick on you a little bit, too. Just a little rewind here. We wanted to wait until the Attorney General had made his decision. We thought, let's hang tight. And so a couple moratoriums. I do regret staff time, but I think that has to happen sometime. I also will note that this is not scientific. As I was looking around, it appears to me half of the larger cities have moratoriums on future development. Half the cities are waiting. A handful of cities have bans on these things. So this is not an unheard of thing going on here. Councilmember Olson mentioned perfectly legal. It's legal. I don't think it's perfectly legal, Mel. I think the whole nature of this thing is awkward, it's clumsy, it's uncomfortable for some people. The very fact that there is a 502 and the Liquor Control Board is involved, it's not perfectly legal. And I just want to say that a vote to remove the moratorium, a yes vote on that, is we take ownership over this project. It's not meant to be about North Shore, but that's the effect of it. We are saying this is what we want in Ferndale, and we don't need to do that. And I'm urging that council say, let's wait for the state to make some decisions so we can come back at this with fresh eyes. We don't need to lift this today. I mean, there's no gun to our head on this thing.
Okay, further council discussion, or can we go to the public now? Okay, Yori, you can sit down and take your information.
Okay.
Okay, so we'll do by hands up. We'll get everybody that wants to talk. So you're first, and anyone else would be after. And so just name and address, and we'll get to anybody that wants to speak.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for the opportunity to speak. And I am so blessed tonight that these young adults are here. My name is Cynthia Sue Ripke Kutzegowitz. I do at present live in Linden, Washington, but I frequent Ferndale a lot. I love your library and your Pioneer Park. So I have three grandchildren who are also out. They're homeschooled. They're out in the Maple Falls area, but they're looking for a place to move up the road. My son-in-law is EMT out there, as well as my daughter, and she's a school teacher. I am gravely concerned, and I'm so happy. Thank you, sir, for encouraging me, because I take the juxtaposition that this gentleman has taken on marijuana. I'm a registered nurse. I worked in hospice. I have never used. I was a hospice nurse for years in Connecticut. I never had to use marijuana medicinally. There were so many, and there are good pain control. I am totally 100% against even the thought of any community having that particular product. Yes, I believe my undergraduate with sociology from Sacred Heart University. There are push-pull factors to every community people will move into for a reason. But to role model, the role of government is to provide and protect, most specifically, these people in the front row. I could give you stats from Vermont. 70% of the, there were 70 drug units. There's now 700. So right next to your jail, that's what you'll be getting. The correlation, I've worked with Sheriff Elfo. I've been to the council all over the place. relation to accidents. These are the people behind me that I am speaking for and my grandchildren. I have worked at Garner in Newtown. I have worked at just about every place else. Every heroin addict will tell you that they started, it's a gateway drug. It also affects, I was just at a cognition conference about the fatty tissue in your brain. Don't do it. It is not a healthy thing. Yeah, Walmart in your community, frankly, I belong to the NRA, a gunster. I don't really care, but I'm telling you, it is not a product you want associated. And I've told my own grandchildren, and I'll speak boldly about this, if I have to move to Utah away from this. Not everybody voted for that, and I was very involved with the elections, but a certainly progressive group does come out and think that this may be a product that is good for a community. There's nothing correlated to it. So I'm going to leave you with information over there. I'm also standing here for Aaron, and I will say Amit, and the military family, and others who, in all these books I'm leaving, they are souls under siege. There's nothing correlated to using this. It's a drug use for anxiety. Anxiety, occasionally a psychiatrist, high doses, and that's what people use it for. There's nothing that Bridget would ever recommend any of our vets coming back using this. I thank you for your patience. I know I've gotten leaving all this information, and thank you for being here. Don't ever do it. It's as dangerous as Agent Orange.
Okay, next up, you had your hand up? Sure. You dropped your paper there.
Yeah, I'm going to read it to you.
Welcome, sir.
No, I'm not. I'm Jack Swanson, 900 DuPont Street. I spoke to your planning committee, and I'm sorry, but I'm going to repeat a couple of things I said. I'm 72. In 1975, 74, 73, 72, I was the deputy prosecuting attorney. I've worked on drug cases. Fortunately, I have children that managed to avoid drugs and are now adults who have their own children. And I would say that I was a warrior in the war on drugs for a very long time, 40 years. And I got to tell you, over the last 6-8 months, speaking with other people about this, about Initiative 502, about the whole issue, about Colorado, I've changed my opinion. In the last year, it changed my mind, because I think that the solution that we've come up with now is a better way to go. And it's a better way to go because we hopefully, if there's adequate supply of recreational marijuana, we won't have to deal with the drug dealers. We won't have to deal with the guys that are carrying guns around, that they will lose interest in this market because of that fact. And whether it's a gateway drug or not, I don't know, but the kids that are in trouble right now are the ones that are on meth, and worse yet, black tar heroin seems to be real popular in our communities around here. And I really think that this is a way to at least drive some of those druggers out, who some of those criminals out, who would make this a worse place to live. Okay, secondly, larger is better in this situation. It makes it easier to meet the infrastructure requirements. It makes it easier to provide the security that's needed. It makes it easier to essentially separate the production from the rest of the community. Putting a fence around it, having big locks on the doors, and keeping people out, keeping them away. This is a production facility that we're talking about in the case of our specific project up in the north end of the city. The fact that there's a residential area up there is irrelevant. There's residential zoning and there are a few houses. Our client owns 80% of the residential land there right now. And we have rules. We have rules that say that certain things can't happen within a certain distance from residential area, and those are good, and those ought to deal with whatever concerns you have about having what's essentially going to be a
time.
Farm. Pardon me.
Time.
Wrap up real quick.
This is a 3-minute deal, is it?
Yeah.
Oh, really? I'm sorry. Finally, taxes. In Saturday's paper, $8.5 million in retail in taxes on retail and processing during July, August, and September. And it's going to raise a lot of money, and the legislature is going to change this, and it's going to give you greater opportunity.
So you can stay out because the councilperson has asked you questions, so now the clock is off. Councilperson.
Thank you for coming. I appreciate it. And by the way, 72, you look just about as good as the chief. Not quite, but you're definitely close. I think you made the comment there's a required buffer between 502 businesses and residential. I don't believe there is any required. So your person who owns the property could develop residentially right next to your property, right next to the 502. Because you're right next to light industrial. There's light industrial, and then there's residential. And you can build right next to it. He could go ahead and put homes there, I believe. There's no restriction from that.
I think it's only two of those lots that we don't own, though.
I'll let our planning director answer too, and then you come back.
Kind of both, right? In this case, we require buffers between two different zones for any type of use.
Screening.
We do have the 1,000-foot buffer from certain protected areas, but it's not specific to residential properties. But the interface between zones would provide a buffer of it's called the L3 landscaping where you
right.
can't see through.
The confusion, I know the county, I believe, has a 300-foot buffer between 502 businesses and a home, so that may have been the confusion.
I believe
you're
correct.
We do not have that. Councilperson Ingram?
Well, my question to this gentleman was quite simple. It sounds to me, from the numbers and the square footage, that you're going to be producing quite a bit of product. What are you going to do with it? I was told today that the State Liquor Control Board, one of the rules that they put in place is that you cannot third-party transport.
We have to haul it ourselves?
You've got to haul it yourself.
Well, does that mean that the president of the company has to drive the truck?
I don't know, but you can't third-party transport. You can't call up Oak Harbor Freight and say, I've got a big truckload full of processed marijuana. I want you to take it down to Seattle so it can be sold.
Sure.
It's not legal.
Sure, but you could have.
But you can have your own fleet of trucks.
Employees drive the truck.
Yeah. Sure. Yeah. Well, I was just curious if you.
Well,
had
there's also a provision in the law that says I think it's only 300,000 square feet of growing production, or 3 million square feet, maybe it is, statewide. What is it? 2 million square feet. 2 million square feet statewide. So that's likely to result in a reduction in what could happen there. And I suppose the longer we wait, the more likely that production capacity will be used up. And frankly, I think they made a big mistake when they left that production capacity as low as it is. Because if you want to get the drug dealers and the guys with guns out of this, you've got to make recreational marijuana adequate in supply, so that people don't go to their drug dealer in order to get it, that they go to the legitimate stores. So there are still some things to be worked out as far as that aspect of it is concerned, for sure.
Stay there. Councilperson Olson?
I wasn't going to say anything, but now I have to. You mentioned $8.5 million in taxes. How much of that do you think comes here?
Well, I know. That's a problem right now.
Oh, yes, a big one.
But what I've been reading is that the legislature has heard from lots of people, especially from local government, that they don't like the fact that local government doesn't get enough of enough taxes out of this type of activity. And so there's a lot of discussion about changing that law and making sure that local government gets more.
Right. The second one is, do you have a requirement for your business, should it be approved tonight, that you'll hire only people from Ferndale? Because we're hearing touting all these Ferndale jobs. Doesn't mean you have to live here and hire people here, right? You can live anywhere.
Well, I do know that the individuals that I spoke to, who are part of the group that wants to locate here in Ferndale, live in Kirkland right now, and they said that they're going to move to Ferndale and bring their families with them, and they're going to live here.
And that would consist of all the employees? Of the company?
I don't think you can do that legally.
No, you can't. Require
people.
That's my point.
Would we encourage our people to hire? Would we hire people from Ferndale if possible? Yes.
Okay.
That I can say yes to.
I'm just trying to do away with these fallacies that we're going to have all these Ferndale jobs. Not going to happen. The last one that you know, since you spent that much time in the drug wars, I myself, 35 years.
Ex-police officer, I know, yeah.
And which accounts for my attitude on this stuff. And we both know that what this boils down to is costs. So until you can get down to the costs for this stuff that are going to put the cartels out of business, because I watched it in the 80s with the cocaine. When if you can undercut them, then you're going to be successful. But it's going to be a constant price war because people are going to go and buy what they can buy for as cheap as they can buy. You're at a disadvantage because the state is heaping taxes on you, huge taxes that the cartels obviously don't pay. So until we can get this grand experiment, until you can get those prices down, I don't see how it's going to work myself. Maybe I'll be wrong, but down the road, I mean, everybody's buying it right now, so you can have your cute little souvenir of the grand experiment. You got your legal stuff.
Yes, yes.
Mm-hmm. Will it continue once it goes past that? Nobody's got a crystal ball, myself included, and I don't know if it will.
And yeah, well, in addition to a law degree, I have a degree in economics, too, so
true.
I really feel qualified to talk about that. And it's a supply and demand issue.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Thank you, sir.
What we talked about before.
Thank you. Before I go, interesting, Councilperson Ingram, I want to answer because I was thinking about that. Is since we repealed prohibition up until 2 years ago, a distributor or a maker of alcohol couldn't deliver it to your store up until 2 years ago. So you're looking at, well, how long did it take to change that? I wonder how long before they figured out marijuana. But for a lot of years, the breweries wanted to come deliver right to the store, and they were allowed until the Costco law came. So it'll be interesting to see where that goes on marijuana. Thank you for bringing that up. Councilperson Watson.
Just two things for Keith. If you really want the price to go down and we need more production, then you should really vote down the moratorium so we can start more production. Secondly, for jobs, I don't know how many people in Ferndale live in Ferndale who work at Superfeet. I don't know how many Ferndale residents Hemplers has. I don't know how many Ferndale residents North Star Woods has. I don't know how many Ferndale residents Samson Rope has. I didn't ask them. But I would still like them to be here. I still want them here. I still want businesses here, even if every single one of them doesn't live here. Half our staff doesn't live in Ferndale. You know, I mean, so it doesn't mean you still don't want the business. You know, they're still going to live in the county. They're still going to pay taxes. They're still going to come and buy their lunch at Hagen's. So I'm not going to ask people, you can't come here unless you hire 80% of Ferndale residents. So.
Councilperson Olson, you'd like to respond.
Yes, I would.
Come on.
Then let's not count it as Ferndale jobs. Let's just call it jobs.
They are jobs in Ferndale.
Just like
Samson Rope has jobs in Ferndale. Yes.
Okay.
And we didn't even hit each other.
So we must have someone else from the audience. Oh, you're standing up already. You must be next. Welcome.
Hi, Heather Wolf. I'm an attorney, and I represent Ocean Grown Enterprises. We strongly urge you tonight to just simply lift the moratorium. That's what staff's recommended. That's what your city attorney has recommended. There's no justification to enact a partial moratorium. I think that's a very problematic legal issue. Your city attorney has stated that in your staff report. The facts that you have before you are that you have two operating producer processors in Ferndale, both of which have employees. Ocean Grown currently has 9 employees that participate in the local economy. They are going to have 13 employees by November 1st. Ocean Grown employs local contractors and sources local products as much as possible. So they are an ongoing contributor to the economy here. Another fact is there have been no safety policing or health issues with these businesses. I know with regard to Ocean Grown, the police department has visited. There have been no problems. So those are the facts that you have before you. So again, the time is ripe for lifting this moratorium. And certainly there's no legal justification for a partial moratorium. And so that's that's what I have to discuss tonight. I'd be happy to take some questions.
Councilperson Mutzler?
Yeah, we got your letter today. Thank you. Nice to see you again. You, I'm just curious, if there's a partial, how would it affect your business? You're up and running.
I think what that's setting us up for is possibly becoming a non-conforming use. And so you have these businesses that went to
hard
great
to expand, hard to change.
Went or do anything to get financing. I mean, the hope is that eventually there will be commercial financing and that banks will open accounts. And if you're a non-conforming use, it's very hard to deal with banks and to get financing. I don't expect my client, at least, to ever expand the footprint. But it's never good to be a non-conforming use. It just presents a lot of legal issues down the road.
And that makes total sense. My concern about your business, and you guys are doing all the right things and so on and so forth, is your location is a quirk of our geography. Mm-hmm. You're surrounded on every side by homes. Trigwood's development's right behind you, right across the street. That's all residential. To your north is Duncan's Trailer. It's dense residential. The other corner is 6.5. It used to be 6.5. I don't know what it is now. It's a funny piece of general business property up there. You happen to find it surrounded by homes, and I just think it's sort of unfortunate. But you make a good case about the non-conforming that could be problematic for you.
Well, and again, I would say, are there any issues? I don't think there have been any issues that have arisen because of the location here. You have a very good ordinance that we had to comply with, and we went through a lot of process with that, and there's a lot of process with the state that anyone has to go through. It's very difficult to get these licenses. So if folks don't have a location today, to go through that whole process and get through, I mean, the likelihood of an influx of businesses coming in is highly unlikely.
No, I wanted to explain why I was smiling, because of your applicant of, my gosh, it's expensive to build in Ferndale. And the response was, yeah, that's too bad. Sam, you wanted to comment?
The mayor asked me just to reiterate the fact that we, if you, regardless of what you do, you already have two processors and growers in the city of Ferndale. You also have one retail location, regardless of what we do tonight, could come to the city of Ferndale. I did speak with the Liquor Control Board on Friday, and they reaffirmed a lot of what we've already been researching. Took a lot to get a hold of them. We finally were able to speak with them. And
we trust them.
And I appreciate the conversation. And kind of what they shared with us is that they actually have gotten through that 2,000-plus amount of applications at this point, as Ms. Wolf just said. And they are now starting to weed out those folks who no longer have addresses or who are trying to find one. They're basically saying, this or get off the pot, you know. It's just we're done with this, basically. So based on the research we'd already done and what we heard from Liquor Control Board, it still remains statistically unlikely that we'll receive a lot of people in the city of Ferndale. Having said that, it is true that if a business were to be approved, say, in the South Sound right now, and they were to recruit them to our area, they could move. So that is true, and I want to make sure that that's very that's open and out there.
North Shore could attract, could legally attract,
correct,
up to any amount.
Correct. What the Liquor Control Board added to that was that, along with the delivery aspect, is that people who are changing their address are trying to change it within about 20 miles of where they're already trying to locate, mostly in the Sound, because that's where all the most of the retail outlets are or are going to be, since Seattle's only gone two so far of the bajillion they'll have. And they basically said they don't expect a lot to come up to Whatcom County in general because of the transportation issues. It doesn't make economic sense to have to drive it all the way down into the Sound. So the Liquor Control Board didn't think that we're going to see an influx. They're through the applications, and we have the list, and there are no more applying to Ferndale. So that was a big thing. But just keep in mind that you already have permitted two. The other aspect, too, is if you later approve the other moratorium and ask the Planning Commission to reconsider this, in particular, especially and particularly putting these types of businesses in the light industrial and manufacturing zones, that's exactly what apparently some folks are arguing against tonight. So I'm a little bit confused about the potential direction, because we're arguing to keep the moratorium in place, but also saying, well, let's just put them in the light industrial manufacturing potentially, but that's what we're concerned about. So staff is recommending lift the moratorium because it's the technically there's nothing else to do.
Councilperson Olson?
Well, with what Sam says, is unless I'm not understanding the process, is that there's no reason to believe there's going to be a lot of people moving here to do that. I think Mr. Swanson's a pretty smart guy, and I bet his business partners are too. He's counting on at least 15 of them moving here, or he's not going to have a very financially viable business. So with what he's saying and with what he's saying, I'm confused.
Well, I don't know if anything's certain. I mean, he certainly has to. I think that the developer next to Ms. Swanson raises eyebrows when he probably realizes that Ferndale's very expensive to develop in. We have the most extensive stormwater requirements. We have grease trap requirements that other cities don't. So I don't know if he can stand up and say, I'm for sure. I mean, it's still speculation on your part, but I'll let one of them speak to that. I think Sam was trying to say that the little control board they've weeded through it, but I don't think anything's guaranteed here. We don't know if our two processors are profitable or not. We don't know if our retailer will be profitable. We only have one license. There's only one granted. If that one goes away, the state has said, great, if your one retailer doesn't work, we'll allow one more. I don't know if anyone knows. Would you like to answer that of, do you have 15 customers locked in? I mean, as far as I'm heard, you've just been you're speculating right now. Your name and address?
Hi, Tracy Carpenter. I'm a commercial real estate broker. I represent North Shore on this project. The letter that you guys have been referencing is a letter that I wrote. I wrote that to you to give you an idea of the kind of activity I was receiving as a commercial real estate person promoting this potential center. And I was sitting here thinking, wow, that's what I do for my every single day. I actually go out and I recruit businesses to come to different cities. I mean, I work mostly through Whatcom County. So I get a little confused by that. The 15 Tier 3 was to give you an idea of scope. Now, those aren't locked in people. I can't even go out to somebody and say, let's do a contract. I can't do anything because there's been a moratorium. The website that you referenced is greatly my doing. I did that prior to the moratorium. I was out recruiting because I knew that I could do that. I was doing my job. So the website that you referenced is it says come to Ferndale. I looked at your website. There's like friendly language on your website for this ordinance. The ordinance is really well written. There was a lot of thought that went into that. So I'm going, this is my job. So the 15 people that I referenced are people that I talk to that called me because of the marketing that I do. And they're from all over the place. And, you know, I've talked to more than 15 people. I can tell you I've talked to 45 people that would want to come to Ferndale. But at the moment that I wrote that letter, some had gone away and some were still interested. I got to tell you, I've done this job for 12 years. Getting from the point that I'm currently at with these people to getting to a full contract that everybody can agree upon, to a project that can be delivered on time, to, you know, all the stuff they have to go through that they referenced on the infrastructure. There's a zillion things to make this thing be really successful. You know, but I can't do anything until the moratorium's lifted. That's like the first step. And I will tell you the next step is I have to tell these people if I'm even going to come close to getting them to come to Ferndale, whether you want them or not, I'm going to still do that job if I can. I have to tell them when I can deliver a product to them. And I'm going to look at Yori and go, Yori, you know, what are the pieces of this? What can, you know, and I'm going to look at the developers and go, you guys have to have a solid plan that works not only for the developer, but also for this tenant. And I think the only other thing I would add on that piece is there's a lot of risk. I know you guys all feel like you're hanging it out there, but there's a lot of risk on the developer side of this. And they will not do, you know, they are doing their own due diligence. So I've got a tenant that I have to recruit, make sure they're viable, bring them to the table, have the developer scrutinize them, have Washington State scrutinize them, and somehow in the end, they end up like Ocean Grown, who's like totally viable, and they're a 7,000 to 10,000 square foot user. When I say 15 businesses, I would love to bring you 15 small businesses to Ferndale, because that's what they are. They're small businesses. Now, it might sound like we talk about Walmart. You know, we're talking about like this big deluge. But if I said to you in almost any other besides strip clubs, I'm going to bring you 15 small businesses to Ferndale, I would be like the hero. I'd be like rocket. So I don't know if you have any questions for me about that. It is my job that I do.
Okay. Most important is, but you like our website.
I did. Your website. There you go. I mean, there was a lot of thought that went into it.
All right, we'll open up to questions.
I'm with the planning.
Councilperson Olson, you look like you were ready to ask questions.
Slight you. I thought this was Mr. Swanson's.
It's
podcast.
Okay. You can.
So, with what Sam just, because I didn't really hear an answer to the question. I heard you talking, but I didn't hear any answers to what he's saying. The Liquor Control Board is saying pretty much nobody's going to move other than really close away to where they're at. So if I were you, that would really scare me.
It does scare the off of me.
Okay.
Because, you know, I spend a lot of time, and I'm like, I'm what you call in Texas Hold'em pot committed. Pun intended. But I am. And I never played Texas Hold'em, have you? But, you know, there is. Yeah, I mean, it's a risk. I'm totally risking my time, my life, energy. And if you guys, you know, I mean...
Okay.
That's
kind of what I was getting
at.
Yeah,
just like everybody else.
Answer, but I think it's pretty much what I said earlier. Neither one of us has a crystal ball. You don't know if this is even going to go.
I think there are a lot of steps. I mean, I do this every day, and there's a lot of steps just to even get to, you know, an agreement or a marriage or anything. And
thank you.
Yeah.
Customers Watson, for this guest? Or?
Yeah, I do want to clarify that. You do need the moratorium to go away before you can do. You can't keep going outward because people need to make a decision. If we're going to keep having a moratorium, then they're going to.
Yeah, I mean, if you guys are going to do a moratorium, in my opinion, you're basically saying we don't want you here. I mean, because I think you've heard, and I think in the letter that was presented, there is a window that's going to close. It's going to close. I totally believe that. And so I have that to worry about, too, because, you know, that's just, you know, it's part of this whole process. And I would tell you, you know, October, I mean, I think I've been really open. I think October is it. For a project that needs to be developed, people can only wait so long. Mm-hmm. So.
Okay, thank you. Okay, anyone else from the audience where we can have anyone speak that would like to? Anyone?
You get extra credit.
Right there. Welcome.
Wendy Lawrence, 6225 Argyle Street. You're probably wondering, oh gosh, what is she going to say now? I'm going to say once again, I'm glad I'm sitting there, and I'm not very glad I'm not sitting there again. But I do have a question for you all to consider. I'm not going to put anybody on the spot, so please don't raise your hands. But if Tracy had been standing up here talking about bringing 15 craft breweries to Ferndale, would we be having this conversation? Keith, I understand your passion for this. I've never had marijuana in my life either. I served in the Navy. I worked at NASA, and I was always drug screened, so I wasn't going to touch that stuff. It would be the end of my career. But the way I look at the laws is we got DUI laws for alcohol, and we have DUI laws now for marijuana. So, once again, ask yourselves, is there really a difference? Alcohol is a drug. Marijuana is a drug. if we were talking about 15 craft breweries and turning ourselves into a Bend, Oregon, would this conversation be going on?
Mr. Mayor.
Councilperson Olson.
Thank you. Wendy, what troubles me with this whole thing is it's not legal federally. If the feds passed it, When I was 18 years old, I was in North Carolina as a high school senior. We could drink hard liquor in the 70s, and I was still in high school. And once you did it once and got a nice good hangover, oh, it wasn't so special anymore. And it goes back to, and I've seen this my entire career, people are going to want what they can't have. And the more you legalize stuff, and they try it, they don't care. So it's kind of tormenting me, but to me, it's about the rule of law. And if they would have, the feds could have made it legal, I personally wouldn't be fighting up here for it. But as I said earlier, once Obama's gone, the day after, all of a sudden, this could be shut down. And all their time and investment went down the toilet.
Hillary's not going to change anything.
It's a question. But you know, it's not that straightforward because now it becomes a state rights issue. So it'll be a very fascinating legal issue, which who knows what the Supreme Court will do because there's a little uproar today because they chose not to do anything about the seven bans in states, seven appeals about gay marriage. So who knows? As you said before, none of us have a crystal ball. I just threw that question out to ponder. Any other questions? I will sit down and shut up.
Our clerk has a...
Just a clarification that our ordinance does include language that were the federal government to assert its jurisdiction, that all of these businesses would go away.
After this series of lawsuits, because we're dealing with lawyers.
Yeah. Probably. We got some, too.
Probably.
Can I just make a comment?
All right, as long as it's quick.
Can you do the mic, please? Thank you. On all the leases that I've done for marijuana, whether it's for medical or for I-502, all of them have an termination exclusion that they will be able to get out of their leases. They've negotiated that they'll be able to get out if the law changes. If the feds make it illegal, then
no, it isn't.
It's no deal. I mean, if they enforce it. Yeah, thank you. So... To me, the people who take the hit on that are the landlords.
Okay. Clerk, you had it.
Just one more point really quick is that the city of Ferndale, I know that people are concerned about a deluge, but I think people forget that we had a gentleman stand before you previously at a public comment and noted that he has between 8 and 12 people in a collective garden in the city of Ferndale, alongside, I think, five other collective gardens that probably also have 8 to 12 people in them, and these folks can have a deluge of plants, each banded together. So they're here already, and we're not seeing the impact. So that's part of why staff is doing this, because technically we're not seeing impacts from these folks. And it isn't new. Medical's been around for a long time, and those folks have been there for years.
Councilperson Olson would like to respond to you.
I'm shocked by this. Yes, sir.
And I was just glad you would even say that, being best friends with Yori right here. Are those places licensed?
No, sir.
Thank you.
Because they're not businesses, and that's why.
Because they're not legal, that's why.
Collective gardens are legal in the state of Washington.
Not the way... Well, we can argue that.
Yeah, that's
people want to watch
anyone
football.
Else from the audience? Like
almost over.
Susan, thank you very much. That's great.
I didn't bring that.
She gets extra credit for this.
Yeah. Yeah. Nerve-wracking.
She's going to get eight tomorrow. Committed. None of you will get an eight.
No pressure.
Name and address?
Olga Balea, 4932 Elder, Ferndale. I'm going to speak on behalf of all the good kids at Ferndale High School. Like the lady that was saying about being worried about her grandkids, I think it's a mindset where if you're coming into high school and you know good from bad, you might fall into the stage of getting influenced by your bad friends. But in reality, marijuana is always going to be there. Like, I'm growing up and we have so many opportunities to getting it. I've never done it, and I'm not planning to, but it's always going to be an option whether there's places to get it legally or undercover, you can say. You know, I feel like if it's going to bring businesses and jobs, then why not? Because people are going to have it. Like, there's no way, I feel like there's no way growing up here, I've lived in Ferndale all my life. Well, since I was 2, moved from Russia. But I've lived here most of my life, grew up here, and it's a very safe community. But we do have our downsides. You know, we do have kids that do marijuana, people that get high, you know, but we can't always control that. I feel like it's always going to be there. So I feel like if it brings businesses and brings production, then why not?
Okay. Questions for this guest? No? Seeing none?
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for having the courage.
Call for the question.
It should be mentioned that the city of Faircrest installed a council person last week, 21 years old.
Wow.
Heisekite.
Yeah. So there you go. There's always a chance. There's no reason that you can't be in politics.
Mr. Mayor, you can contact Scott Brown and make sure that she gets the extra credit.
I should call that, yes.
Yes, she should get extra credit.
I've always promised it.
That took
is Scott Brown your instructor?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to hear him.
Call him. They require courage.
Good job. Okay, anyone else? Anyone else? We're on a roll here. No? Anyone? No?
We have a motion and a second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. Councilperson Ingram?
Call for the question.
Okay.
Thank you. A second.
Do I have a second for that? Okay, so that's ending discussion, so we vote on that first. So all in favor of ending discussion and going right to the vote, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Okay, oppose? Okay, we're going right to the vote. Now, this is for to just lift the moratorium. You have a second issue behind that in terms of rezoning. So, you probably know where I'm going to go.
Just guess. Give the boy a second.
Roll call vote.
Councilmember Watson?
Aye.
Councilmember Hansen?
Yes.
Councilmember Olson?
No.
Councilmember Ingram?
Aye.
Councilmember Mutchler?
No.
Councilmember Birch?
No.
Councilmember Goodrich?
Yes.
It approved 4-3.
Okay, motion goes forward 4-3 on the second issue before you.
We do not have a motion on that.
I realize that. Okay. That's why I'm turning to the council.
Okay. Let the man do his job.
Councilperson Goodrich, make a motion that we put into effect. Let me get it back up here again. The second ordinance here on light industrial and manufacturing and that whole thing.
Yeah.
And I suppose, Councilperson Mutchler, are you...
Nope, not going to second it.
If I could really quick clarify, I believe the motion is to approve the Planning and Land Use Committee's recommendation.
Yes.
That'd be cleanest. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Do I have a second on that?
I'll make a second just so I can tell you why I didn't want to make the second.
Okay, so it's been second and discussion is open. Councilperson Mutchler.
Yeah, I won't vote to support that just because, frankly, I don't think the council would like to do that. And I do have respect for the mayor and for staff on these issues. And I also think the argument of Ocean is compelling. I'm not going to create non-conforming uses. That whole street's full of non-conforming uses. Trust me, I've looked. I'm not going to create another one. So I wish you the best of luck.
Call for the question. Okay, call for the question. Second on that?
All second.
Okay, so we're going to vote to end discussion on this matter and go to a vote. All in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. All opposed?
No.
Okay, so motion carries 6-1.
Okay.
Okay, on the motion.
I'm trying to help you, baby.
We're going to do a roll call vote.
Councilmember. So the motion is to approve Planning and Land Use Committee's recommendation, which includes a new moratorium, as well as forwarding this issue to the Planning Commission for further review of the various zones.
Thank you.
Councilmember Watson?
No.
Councilmember Hansen?
No.
Councilmember Olson?
No.
Councilmember Ingram?
No.
Councilmember Mutchler?
No.
Councilmember Birch?
No.
Councilmember Goodrich?
Yes.
Failed.
We needed to have
six. Okay. Wow. Great job, audience. Great job, council. Great discussion. I think everyone had great points. Thank you to the audience. I think that's great. For mayor reports, I have none. We have union negotiations starting. The schedule is intense. It changes, it seems like, every other second. If anyone would you like to attend, please contact Greg, and he will give you the schedule. It seems to change every minute. I would do that starting tomorrow to get on the calendar of lots of them.
That's it for mayor reports, council reports. Councilperson Mutchler.
Yeah, first of all, I would say you're thank you. You earned your salary this month. I know that was great.
Thank you.
How long did it take 40 hours to write that speech, by the way? That's what I'd like to know.
Well, you know, if you don't sleep over the weekend thinking about this.
Can we get a copy? Can we post online that speech? Well, then, I just want to mention I'm part of the FDA. They have their quarterly meeting with our parole person, Todd Anderson, will be speaking about graffiti. That is, you're welcome to that. That's Thursday morning at 7:30 at the WeCu building, and I believe there's a breakfast there. The Harvest Festival for the end of the, you're probably going to mention that, is this Saturday, kind of wrap up the Farmer's Market this Saturday, Harvest Festival. So,
yeah, and the pumpkin contest with the FDA is the 18th. It's been moved.
Oh, because I don't think we knew that.
Can you say that again?
Pumpkin Festival, the FDA has moved the Pumpkin Festival to the 18th, the pumpkin contest.
At the same location?
At the same location.
Okay. Oh.
So okay. Not at the, okay.
It's not the Ferndale Public Market.
It's not part of the Ferndale Market.
Okay.
But
the market has their own Harvest Festival. No.
But the pumpkin contest is the following Saturday. Okay, got it.
Okay, got it. So there's two things. So you can carve pumpkins 2 weeks in a row.
There you go.
Okay, any other council reports? Councilperson Ingram, don't we have an AWC meeting next week in Mount Vernon?
Do we?
Yes, we do.
The regional?
The regional AWC.
We also have an emergency management council meeting. A WATCOM meeting, the 911 commission, is Wednesday.
Okay.
Day after tomorrow. 1 o'clock.
And then the AWC is next Tuesday or Wednesday?
I think it's Tuesday. I'll have to check my calendar.
I don't remember. I'll have to go look at my email.
Okay, everyone check.
I still have
I just got an email. AWC, please announce your council. I forgot.
Do you need to know if there'll be a quorum of us there? As long as we sit separately and don't talk about marijuana, we'll be okay.
Yeah, there you go.
Okay.
And if there's a couple of us going down there to that, I'd be happy to drive.
Mm-hmm. Can we drive the Tesla?
Yeah.
Okay, there you go.
That's the only thing that I've got to drive, unless you want to ride in the bed of my pickup.
I was just saying, ask you to drive it.
What do you yell at the
Goodrich? Two things. Last I heard, I haven't seen the actual agenda yet for the fire district meeting, but they should be voting this Thursday on whether or not to proceed with the fire district annexation thing we're trying to do. And also this month, my wife and I are taking off for a few days to finally celebrate our 36th wedding anniversary. So,
congratulations.
Congratulations.
Any other council reports? Okay, staff reports. City Administrator.
I'm all set.
Community Development Director.
Next week, Haley and I are going to the planning conference in Spokane. We get to stay in a haunted hotel. And I also do want to say that from the staff level, we meet with our counterparts in other jurisdictions, and they are envious of our opportunity to work with this council as compared to their own councils.
They don't know us that well, do they?
I don't believe you.
He didn't type any of that.
I don't believe any of
that. Never type lies.
City clerk?
Go Hawks.
Public Works?
Nothing.
Police? Okay. Okay, so we will now be entering an executive session pursuant to RCW 42.30.110, subsection C. We estimate the meeting to last 15 minutes, and we will then reconvene an open public meeting. No action will be taken after the executive session. So, we can sign all you out.